burden I have in my heart this morning is on the subject of outlook or perspective. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 14. You will remember the story of when the Syrians came and besieged Samaria. We'll just kind of take off to get to the point. Verse 14, it said, "Therefore sent he thither," speaking of the king of Syria, "he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He was in a situation that he looked on with his eyes, and he saw that the city was surrounded or encompassed about with the enemy. And I don't know about you, but I have been in places in my life that I felt I was there as well. It seemed like everywhere you looked, the enemy was arrayed around about you. And the question was that the servant said, he said, "Alas, how shall we do?" In other words, what are we going to do? Because it seems like we are in an impossible situation. I want us to know this morning that we serve a God that loves to work in impossible situations. And in your life this morning, if there are things that look impossible to you, we serve a God who is able to still work a miracle and do what we cannot do for ourselves. The servant said, "Alas, what are we going to do? What shall we do?" And Elisha prayed. Well, let's read verse 16. We can't miss out that. It said he answered, and this is what the answer of the prophet was: "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Have you ever had someone just come along and tell you when you were in the middle of a trial, very severe, and they just, "Well, it's going to be okay." It's like, you don't, how can you tell me that it's going to be okay? Because if you say it's going to be okay, you must really not understand what I'm going through. And, you know, just kind of that pedantic, condescending little pat, it's going to be okay. He said, what are we going to do? Because the enemy's around us. And Elisha said here, he said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." You know, the Lord does not want us to live in fear this morning because of circumstance. It may be from within you or it may be from without, but we need not live in fear this morning. He said, "Fear not, because those that are with us are more than they that be with them." And the servant didn't see that. That was not his perspective. That's not, when he looked around, he saw the enemy. But Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. You know this morning that if you love the Lord, and it is your desire and your purpose to be what God wants you to be, you need not be afraid. Where there ought to be fear is when there is a division in your purpose. But when you want to serve the Lord and you want to be faithful to Him, you need not be afraid. And I would that the Lord would open our eyes this morning to impossible situations, to know that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him. And if you love the Lord this morning, the angels of the Lord have camped around about, and they're not going to allow the enemy to come in and take advantage of you to the place that you will fall and lose your soul. In every impossible circumstance, we can look at the enemy, we can look at the temptation, we can look at the people problems, we can look at the church problems, we can look at all of the needs around, and we can be dismayed. What shall we do? But do you know the Lord wants our eyes to be open this morning, that we would have a different outlook? Because when we begin to have spiritual vision in a spiritual perspective, we will recognize that God is still in control. The Lord still has, we sang that song, there is still power in the blood. There is still grace that can keep us. There is still a peace that passeth all understanding. In other words, it's not a peace that we can see with our eyes and understand how we have it. But it is a divine work that God can do in our life, that we can have a peace that passeth all the things that I see, that supersedes all the circumstances that are in my life. Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Over in Deuteronomy, in the 26th chapter, verse 6 through 9, speaking of the children of Israel, when they were in captivity in Egypt, it said, the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and He looked on our affliction and labor and oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, with signs and wonders. And He hath brought us into this place, in the land of Canaan, and given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. You know this morning that hard times are a reality to the children of God. I believe in victory. I believe in a peace, again, that passeth all understanding. But it is also a reality that God's people are going to be tested. That they're going to be proven. The enemy, no, we're going to be proven by the Lord to prove our faith. But we're also going to be tested by the enemy because he's wanting to shake our faith. But I would that we understand this morning that when we are afflicted and when we come to the place that we begin to be oppressed, that when we cry unto the Lord, He is going to hear us. And folks, God is still in the business of delivering people who are oppressed. By definition, oppressed is the state of being overburdened. To load or burden with unreasonable imposition. They were oppressed. Do you know there are situations that the enemy would like us to be oppressed about? People problems. You know what that is? Have you ever had people problems? Any kind of relationship with someone. Financial difficulties. Physical problems. It can be emotional needs. Financial difficulties. Spiritual problems. It can be spiritual battles that we're in individually and personally. Do you know that the Lord, when we cry unto the Lord, He is still in the business of working miracles. He is still in the business of relieving the oppression. Now, oppression is the state of being overburdened. Have you ever been there? Got to the place that you were, we have burdens, but now I'm feeling overburdened. Do you know that the Lord wants to deliver us from being oppressed? Because do you know when you begin to be oppressed or overburdened, do you know that brings depression? And depression begins to be that everything is depressed or pressed down. And you know what we see when we begin to get oppressed and depressed? We look around and all we see is the enemy surrounding us. That is a state of depression. And someone even can come along and say, but look, this is good over here. But all they can see is the enemy. All they can see is the negativity. All they can see is the trial or the battle that they're in. But if we would ask the Lord to open up our eyes, to change our outlook, to change our perspective, to realize that God, the angel of the Lord, is surrounding the enemy. God's, the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. And when we cry unto the Lord in our difficulties, and in our oppression, I want us to know this morning that deliverance will come. The Lord, we do not have to live in a state of oppression. Yes, trials will come. And we may find ourselves there. But But I would that we would look to the Lord to open up our eyes. Change our outlook. Give us a different perspective of the battles that we're facing today. The enemy would that we live our lives under the umbrella of the feelings of gloom and doom. You don't have to answer, but have you been there? It just seems like that you're just under an umbrella. Gloomy. Hey, do you like to be around gloomy people? You know, it's not, you know, something about gloom has a way of spreading, doesn't it? Have you ever, I remember one time my wife and I were in a mall. We were walking through a mall, and I guess you remember that. And we came upon a couple that we knew from church somewhere. And the brother's comment to me was, "Well, you look happy." I thought, you don't. I didn't say that. But the point was, you could see we were stepping into a tense situation. You know, when they were standing there and you could see them, and here we come bebopping along down the mall. And obviously something wasn't going real well. Do you know the Lord wants us to live in a condition of peace? He wants us to live it with an outlook, a positive outlook. Do you know, just because there are difficult things that happen in our life does not mean we have to give in to living under an umbrella of gloom and doom. There are some people, everything they see, it's negative. Well, but what if that happens? Or look at this over there. But the Lord would have us open up our eyes this morning and see that God is still God. He's still working even when I don't see it. I know He's still working, which means the Lord wants me to still have a spring in my step. You understand? That the devil's job, he's working on oppressing us in our homes, as a people, in the congregation, on the job. He wants to try to oppress us. We need to open up our eyes and know that this is a life of victory. That there's a place that we can have an outlook that we see God's hand at work. Our lives as children of God should be based on truth. Would we acknowledge that? Our lives should be based on truth, not feelings. Have you ever woke up just not feeling good? I have. I mean, I've woken up before, and I knew the moment I opened up my eyes. I'm just being honest. I'm telling you where we live. You wake up, and all of a sudden, you can just feel, for whatever reason, you just don't feel real positive. It's like, well, are we going to let feelings dictate our behaviors? Because you know what happens if you don't conquer those feelings? You know what's going to happen? Get up in the morning and nothing's changed. Things are just like they were last night, but I just don't feel good. I'm not even talking about physically. I'm just saying when you inside, you just, you know, rare. Yeah, that's how it's in our household, our term. It's like, oh, they're feeling a little rare, you know, like a cat or something. It's just that feeling if they're not feeling real positive. Well, do you know that we have to, as children of God, conquer those feelings? We shouldn't be living under those kind of feelings. We need to rather be living under grace. And so you get up in the morning and you're just feeling a little bit, I'm trying to think of a better term. You're just feeling not real positive. And if you don't get that under the grace of God, does not that have a way of starting to spread? There's just this umbrella of gloom around. And that's when your children have to, you parents, it's when the children say, dad or mom, and they have to tread gingerly, you know. Children shouldn't have to do that. See, they shouldn't have to. There's grace, parents. They shouldn't have to question what mood are they in today. In other words, it's going to be different than it was yesterday and tomorrow's going to be. No, there's something better than that. We shouldn't, and children, same applies to you. There is a place this morning that we need to have an outlook on life that supersedes feelings. It's based on truth. And what is truth this morning? The truth is this. The truth is that there is still peace and power and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. The truth is that there is still grace for me in the middle of the trial. The truth is there is still a place of power for me even when I look around and I see difficult situations that I'm facing. The Lord wants me to have an outlook that supersedes the difficulty, that rises above the circumstances, that I can know I can make it. Because the grace of God is going to be there to see me through. Well, is not this outlook, that perspective, what enabled Paul and Silas when they were in prison? It's what enabled them at midnight, after being beaten, and they were in stocks, they were in bonds. This positive outlook, spiritual perspective, is what enabled them to sing. And how do you think they sang? I've got the joy, joy, joy. Do you think that's how they sang? What do you think? I think they were happy. I think they had something that was superseding their circumstance. I think they saw and they knew the angel of the Lord was encamped around about them. Folks, that ought to change our outlook. We ought to have such an outlook in a spiritual perspective this morning that will enable us, even when things are difficult, that we can still find a place of victory and peace in Jesus Christ. We're not going to take the time to read it, but you'll find it over in Genesis 37 through chapter 39. But remember, if anybody would have had the right to be oppressed, I think Joseph kind of fits the bill. Joseph was, as a young man, he was persecuted by his brothers. He was sold into slavery by those that should have been there to stand beside him. Those that were closest to him betrayed him. Now, how would that make us feel? If anybody had the right to say, I'm just going to give up on life. There's no sense in even trying anymore because look what they did. Joseph was sold into slavery, but you recognize as a slave, he was promoted and became the head over Potiphar's house. Do you know, how did he get there? What kind of outlook do you think he had? Well, I'm just a slave, so I'll just try to make it through the day. Do you know Joseph had to come to a place, he thought, well, if I'm a slave, I'm going to be the best slave I can be. Slavery. Everybody wants deliverance. But what about being the best slave we can be? What about making the best of a bad situation? You've heard the little quote, when life gives you lemons, what's the rest of it? Make lemonade. And how do you do that? You add sugar, right? Put some sweetness in it. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do in our life. In difficult situations, let's just bring it where we live. In the difficult situations that you're in today, the Lord wants you to do something positive in a place that may look difficult to you. Joseph, then, he was falsely accused, was he not? He was accused of something he didn't do. And you know, that's not a fun place to be in. And you know what happens when you are talked about and falsely accused? You know what the tendency is? I think y'all probably know. I'll tell you what my tendency would be, has been. Temptation. I didn't give in, thank the Lord. But the temptation is, I'll go to my corner. You know, I'll go get in my corner. You know, just carry on. But if this is how it's going to be, I'll just, you know, I'll go back to my corner. What would happen this morning if all of us went to our corner? What would happen? You don't think any of us would be here this morning? I'll just go back to my corner. I'll get out of the way. No, we need something better than that. Joseph was a prime example. And so he was put into prison, falsely accused. And did he just wallow in his misery and commiserate with others in prison that were in similar situations and feel sorry for himself in prison? What happened in prison? He was elevated to be the chief prisoner. What an honor. I was the best slave I could be, and now I'm the best prisoner. I'm the chief prisoner. How did he get there? It was because he rose above the circumstances and the situation and said, this is where the Lord has me,
And this is where I am, and I know that there is a God in heaven that is still looking down on my needs. And he had an outlook that rose above what he saw.
We find then, you know the story of Joseph. Eventually he was elevated by age 30 to be second only to Pharaoh himself over the land of Egypt. But I wonder what the key was. And I think the key in part is given to us in the 41st chapter of Genesis. When Pharaoh called Joseph eventually to interpret his dream, and this was Joseph's response. Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And as I meditate on that, I thought, you know, that was really Joseph's outlook. In every difficulty faced, he had to come to a place that he said, it's not in me. Because if I allowed it, if I went the way of the natural course of the flesh, all of those difficult situations would have oppressed him. They would have pushed him down. They would have brought depression. And Joseph would not have much quality of life. And you say, but I'm a slave. You see, I'm a slave. You know, we have a lot of people in our world today that talk about how they've been mistreated. And my heart goes out to people that have been mistreated. But do you know, it's not only slavery. There are a lot of people from all walks of life who in essence have been abused, have been hurt, have been in horrible circumstances. But as children of God, we are taught there is something better than to wallow in what's happening even today. I want to find a place of grace that I can rise above my circumstances and I can do the best that I can in the place that I am. Folks, God will honor that and He will elevate us and we will find victory in those places. And you say, is there a place you can be happy being a slave? I think Joseph found it. It had to do with his outlook, though. It had to do where his faith was. It had to do where his trust was. And he said, it's not in me. Do you know Joseph applied himself, trusting in God to find a strength that was beyond himself. I believe he had spiritual outlook, spiritual perspective. And I believe that that is what has led and enabled all of our heroes of faith that we find in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We think about Moses and Abraham and Noah, and not only those, but those that lost their lives, said having not received the promise, there was something that kept them going. What was it? It was their perspective. It was their outlook that they were looking for something greater than just the things that they saw at the moment. Folks, let's be encouraged this morning. Let's turn and read over in 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. It said, all things are for your sake. Do you believe that this morning? Everything in your life is for your sake. You say, yeah, but God doesn't cause people to do that. Or God did. Yes, but what does the scripture say about Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery? Man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, God can take the bad that touches our life and He can manipulate it and turn it around to work something positive for us. So all things are for your sake this morning. That ought to be our outlook, shouldn't it? In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now take note of this next verse. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Where is your outlook this morning? Is it temporal? Is it just seeing the enemy, the negativity? Or how will we open up our eyes by the grace of God and look and know that God is still working? He is still doing something where I cannot see. The Lord is still at work. And it will work for us something far more exceeding in eternal weight of glory. And so then, what is our responsibility this morning?
Say, okay, if we accept the fact that God is still working, do you know that that gives us reason to get up in the morning? It gives us reason to keep working and keep putting effort into even difficult situations because I know God is working. It ought to change our outlook.
So what is our place and responsibility? We're not going to take the time to read it. You're familiar with the scripture. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, where it tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, I'll just go ahead and read some of it, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're not talking about denying truth. You see, some people think that, and they almost act like if you talk about a difficulty, I've seen people do this with physical illness. They might say someone has cancer, and they think if they can just deny that they have it, that it'll go away. If I just won't acknowledge it, then it won't happen. You know, really, that's denial. That's more denial than it is faith. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. Bring your needs to the Lord. Say, Lord, the enemy's surrounding me. I've got a problem here, and I don't know what to do. But do it with thanksgiving. And then he went on to tell us, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, what should be our outlook? What are the things that we ought to be thinking about and meditating on? The things that are true, the things that are honest, things that are pure, lovely, a good report. He said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Do you know that ought to be where our focus should be today? On the things that are positive and good. This is not mind over matter. I'm not talking about the art of positive thinking this morning, but I'm saying spiritually we need to have that kind of perspective. We need to have that kind of outlook. And when we do not focus on the positive things, what happens? Do you know that much oppression and depression of the enemy comes from self-focus? Have you ever noticed that? It comes from self-focus. When we start seeing everything through one area in our life, maybe, that things aren't going good, or difficult circumstances, and pretty soon we're looking at everything through that because we're thinking just of self. I'll give you an example. If on our trip, I told Renee and I were talking about something, I said, it just seems like everyone, blah, blah, blah. You know, husband-wife conversation. And she said, well, don't put me in that boat. Everyone. I'm using myself as a bad example, I guess. But do you know that is a tendency? That it's something, if we're not careful, we can start doing. And I think of it this way. Have you ever heard someone come up and say, well, the saints, that, you know, the church did such and such to me. The saints did this. You say, well, the saints, well, who are you talking about? Well, this person, well, okay, so brother so-and-so, so they did that. Well, who else? Well, they did that. So the saints did this to me. No, it wasn't the saints. It was that brother over there that did that. But there is a tendency when we become self-focused to take one person or two or three even that haven't done us right, and pretty soon we start labeling everybody that way. Is not this what happens? And then the tendency is you come to service, if it's talking about the body of Christ, pretty soon you're looking at everybody with suspicion that, and pretty soon I'm blaming you for what someone did that's not even here. Isn't that what happens? Outlook, see? Outlook. What's our perspective? We need to be careful about letting one area of life. You have financial problems, I've said this many times. Number one cause of marital discord is what? Finances. That's number one. Well, it's because, so someone's struggling financially and they get irritable.
And then they cause that irritability comes out on their companion. And then pretty soon, their companion can't do anything right because you're struggling financially. And then you get irritable with the children and then they misbehave. And pretty soon, it just becomes a domino effect. It really was just one area. And then you say, everything is going wrong. Well, what's everything? Well, you know, I've got marital problems, I've got financial problems, and now I've got spiritual problems, and now my children and I were at odds, and everything's going bad. Do you know where it started? With one thing. So Lord, help us to realize that it was one thing. So Lord, help us to deal with those one things in a helpful way. Because if we don't, it has a domino effect. And if we can isolate the difficult circumstances in our life, realizing we don't have to allow those things to bleed over and affect our whole walk with God. There is danger of self-fulfilling prophecy. Have you ever had something you say, well, I can't do it? Do you think you're going to do it if you say you can't do it? You say, well, it's just, I just can't do it. You know, after you've tried something for a while, if you get discouraged and depressed and oppressed, and if you throw your hands up in the air, do you think you're ever going to be successful? What's our outlook here? You see, we say, well, I just can't do it any longer. I've tried, and I just can't do it. Maybe children's with your schoolwork, I don't know, or getting along with your brother or sister. I just can't do it. If you accept that you can't do it, you won't do it. See, it has to do with outlook. But if we can, we need to, a while back I heard about a teacher that was walking through class or walking through the hall and she had a shovel in her hand. And the person I was talking with told me that they said, oh, you've been working. She said, yeah. She said, they took the words, I can't. She took her class outside and they dug a hole and they buried the words, I can't do it, or I can't, and they buried it. Do you know we need to get that out of our vocabulary this morning? We need to get it out of our outlook. We look at things and say, I've gone so far and I can't go any further. With that kind of attitude, you won't. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. But if we can have our eyes open to realize, I can do what? All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can. Bury the I can'ts this morning. Have a better outlook. Have an outlook that supersedes the difficulties and the I can'ts. And I've gone as much as I can. I just don't know how I can anymore. We can. By the grace of God, we can do it, folks. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you remember Joshua, when they came into the land of Canaan, and he was, what was he, eight, in his 80s, wasn't he? And he said, give me that mountain. The giants were there. There were still strongholds there. But he had an outlook. He had a perspective that God promised me this land. This land was promised to me, and I want what God has promised to me. Folks, do not be discouraged this morning. Do not give up. Bury your I can'ts. Realize that God is still in the business of delivering the oppressed. But we are going to have to do our job as well. Open up our eyes and focus and do the most that we can in the present circumstances. And God will see us through with victory. In closing, Romans in the 15th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that we can anticipate something forward-looking. That's what hope is, isn't it? How's your outlook this morning? You know, it's good to self-examine sometimes. And we talk about IQ, that's intelligent quotient. We can look at different quotients. Well, how's your outlook this morning? On a scale of, you know, 1 to 100. You know, I tell my boys average is not good enough. If someone tells me they're average, I have difficulty with average. See, because we can do better than that. Okay, so what's our outlook? Well, it's about as good as everybody else is here. Folks, average isn't good enough. How is your outlook this morning?
You think the Lord wants to fine-tune some things? Let's ask the Lord to open up our eyes and know that I can do all things through Christ. Amen.